All right, good day, nerds, and thank you for joining us for episode 17 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, and we're going to have a good conversation with Steve, the founder of the Nerd Cantina today. We're going to be discussing Steve's latest movie review, some Disney Marvel park expansion talk, the mess that is DC, and then end the episode with our final thoughts on E3 following what we talked about last week with the Microsoft and Bethesda day one.
Got a good show for you, nerds. Stick around.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, Steve, first, did you have a good Father's Day?
Yeah, Father's Day was pretty fun. Went mini golfing with the Cantina kiddo and dropped 4 hole-in-ones in an 18-hole course.
Nice.
Missed the score of the day by one stroke, which hurt really bad. There was 2 holes where there was a giant hill to get up, and I muffed the hill and it came back at me and I had to start over again. So if I'd have hit those 2 shots over the hill on the first off, I'd have beat the best score of the day by 1 stroke and quite disappointed in myself.
As you should be. I barely got out of pajamas and played board games. So it was a good day for me.
There you go.
But we can get started. I know you watched Men in Black this week as really the only movie that you got through.
It's been a busy summer so far, but this week it was just the one. Men in Black International. See, these reviews are kind of really hard for me to write. Was it a good movie? Nah. Was it a bad movie? No. You know, like the first Men in Black was kind of groundbreaking, and they've kind of petered off since then. This kind of just picked up that baton running. You know, they didn't really do anything new and innovative, but it fell right in with the rest of them as far as quality, writing, acting. You know, it wasn't bad. You know, so like if this is, it's a coin flip on whether an audience is going to like it. If you're a fan of the Men in Black movies and even the ones that kind of started tailing off towards the end, if you still enjoyed those, you'll enjoy this one. Not a doubt in my mind. But if you're looking for something like, man, I thought they were going to reboot the franchise and do like, it's like, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
They were so outrageous in the original trilogy that like, you know what I mean? There's really little wiggle room of expectations to kind of like fall in, you know, like there's aliens, there's weird shit. People are disguised, you know, like, so they do some cool plays on how the aliens are disguised. I'm a big Les Twins fan, so the two main bad guys in the movie are professional dancers that were on a few reality dance shows that I watch with my girlfriend, and we're big fans of them, and they did a really good job because they're poppers and lockers and all kinds of like crazy body movements, so they were able to incorporate that into the way the aliens move and stuff like that. So that was a little interesting to see them in the movie. But other than that, Helmsworth was Helmsworth, you know, like everybody, like it was just like,
yeah,
you want to go see it, go see it. You don't, who gives a shit?
Yeah. I don't think it's the kind of movie that really, you know, the mass group of people are waiting to see that in the theater. If you were a big Men in Black fan, I guess you go see it. And if you weren't, maybe you watch it somewhere down the road. Was it at least entertaining enough to pick up on a night on the couch?
Yeah, I basically went to see it just in case I got to shit all over it, you know, but it wasn't bad enough to just be like, oh, this movie was fucking horrible. Like it was, you know, there was times where it was entertaining. There was times where it was predictable and a little played out. You know, overall, it was a C movie. It was an average movie, you know. So if you like Men in Black, go see it. If you don't, wait till it's on HBO. Like, not a big deal. But these are, like, the hardest reviews to write because it's, you know, you try to convince or, you know, someone to go or not to go. And this one, I'm just like, yeah, whatever, dude. Live your life, bro. Do you?
Well, so now we'll start talking about some news. But first topic we have is, you know, it's a Nerdstradamus.
Yeah, I'm starting to get slightly annoyed at this shit. Like it seems like every other week we record something on Monday, and by Wednesday or Thursday, sometimes before the podcast even airs, there's just like it just comes to fruition. Like whatever rant we go on, whatever like advice or like it just there's an article like 3 days later. I'm just like, well, like they beat me to that one. Like, it's horrible.
And what we're talking about with this is that, last week we talked about following Star Wars Galaxy, you've got to expect that they're going to try to capitalize this on a Marvel world at Disney. And, there's articles now stating that Disney is continuing to move forward with their permits and everything else that they have for a Marvel dedicated space theme park area at Disneyland, specifically California Adventure in Anaheim. What I'll say about this is this may have been a Nerdstradamus thing. This may just be classic I never listen to my wife situation. Because when I talked to Natalie about it later, she just told me, yeah, I told you that months ago. So what the fuck are you talking about? She said months ago she was at Disneyland and said, oh, they closed down the Bugs Life theme park area and it's all completely walled off with Stark Industries signs all over the place.
See, that's what people said, there was Stark signs. But how does anybody going to Disney World that's seen Stark sign? So like I'm not in the know, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't have season passes to Disneyland. I don't live in California. So how was I supposed to know that? And if there's 100,000 people that walk past a giant wall that says Stark Industries in Disneyland, how does this article just get written last week when permits are official? Like you needed the official permits be pulled to write the article because to speculate?
Because people couldn't take a breath from talking about Star Wars Galaxy Edge. They just needed one thing to go before they can start talking about the next. And that's probably really what it came down to. Even Disney probably would not talk about it because they didn't want to take hype away from Star Wars Galaxy Edge. But they have shut down the whole kids area, Bugs Life area of Disney months ago, put up the Stark Industry signs, and started doing construction.
Which makes sense because I didn't realize Bugs Life had that gigantic portion of a park and really... What's the longevity of a Bug's Life?
it's been pretty,
I think that was bad pre-planning and park allotment by Disney.
My kids liked it. It was all like toddler rides, like little kid rides in a theater in there. But like I said, maybe this is a bit Nerdstradamus, or maybe this is something I probably just should have known already from actually paying attention to my wife when she speaks.
Well, you fail. I have foresight. Like you were there. You lived it. I'm in Chicago with no preconceived notions about this whatsoever. And my thought was just, we needed to thin out the nerd herd. Like, there's too many people going to Galaxy's Edge. We got to thin out those nerds and give them somewhere else to go so they don't overcrowd Galaxy's Edge. And my thought was, what the fuck? Why don't we have a Marvel section at Disney World? It was pretty much just a logical answer at that point.
Yeah, be curious to see what it's going to look like and how large they're going to be able to make it. I think they are trying to expand a little bit, but they're just repurposing space in there. So, yeah, we'll see.
Tear down a retirement home, build a bigger park.
And then something that I found fascinating, transition from Marvel to DC, as we often do. But DC had a couple bad rumors in the last week. And, you know, it first came out, you know, you find out about the show that a lot of people were excited about. I guess like the 15 people who are DC Universe subscribers were excited to see Swamp Thing, and then that gets canceled immediately after the pilot episode.
Someone tweeted that one of our fellow podcasters tweeted that it was already canceled, and I just shared the Friday Smokey gif. Like, how the hell you go get fired on your day off?
Yeah, it immediately closes up Swamp Thing, and then rumors start flying about DC Universe shutting down, and DC Universe is just it's dying and on its way out. DC's trying to salvage it and saying, no, we're not a closing service. We're not. Of course you're going to say that. You can't be like, hey, keep paying my subscription fees because we've got a lot of shows we've already paid to put together, and we want you to watch those until the day we die. And like, so they're not going to say anything until it's time to shut down the service.
You know that there's some accountant there crunching the numbers and is like, look, we need 3 more months to break even. We need to just like, if we could just keep people hooked on for 3 more months.
They already have shows. Again, it's DC Universe. Nobody's going to watch it, but they've got a Harley Quinn show. They've got, you know, the Robin show. They've got a bunch of shows on there that nobody's watching. That, again, the 15 people that are subscribed, they want to at least keep those guys around. And I guess Titans 2, season 2, they've already started taking care of.
They greenlit, And I heard that was like, that's probably their most successful show is the Titans show.
Yeah. And so in the end, DC just, their media arm as a whole, not just comics, but the way they move towards in all mediums of media, it's just bad. And then you get Rob Liefeld, who went on just a fantastic 24-hour Twitter rant against DC.
Not even just like his own rant. Like he was direct replying to all the DC fanboys that came. So there's like a list of top 10 most annoying people on the planet. You know, I think it starts with vegans. Then you get the flat earthers and anti-vaxxers. And shortly after there, it's DC fanboys. You know, I'm a Marvel guy. I love Marvel. But I mean, as fans of the show would know, I criticize Marvel where they deserve to be criticized. It's not like I'm just going to subscribe to every red banner bullshit thing that they shove in my face. But these DC fanboys, man, it's brutal. They like DC could shit in a bag and put it out for sale and they will defend it tooth and nail, you know, as the next big thing, and how we're just Marvel fanboys and we're going to shit on anything DC gives us. And it's like, no, man, they're a horrible company when it comes to vision and execution. You know, aside from Shazam, I can't really say much that they've done well. I mean, I thought for sure they were going to right the ship when they hired Brian Michael Bendis, like one of the best writers in comics. DC, when I was like, look, they're trying, they're actually going to try. And then we're going to pay people to do shit. You know, we're going to handcuff people and tell them they can't do certain things. And we're going to steer, you know, we're just going to drive this truck into the wall like we normally do, you know, and to see Liefeld actually admit it and then get a bunch of shit, you know. And this is a guy who's worked for DC, knows the inner workings.
Not anymore.
But you got a guy who's in the know. And then people are tweeting at him from their mom's basement. Like, they have any fucking insider perspective on how this fucking company works.
Yeah.
You know, they just know that they're never going to take off their Batman fucking Speedos. And they're always going to love this shit. So how dare you talk bad about it? They're really the fucking CrossFitters of fucking the comic world. Like, they're just so fucking annoying.
Hold on. I've got to keep a list going of what fan base you just fucking killed today.
Oh, I just shit on a handful of people.
Number one vegans, which I feel like you were trying to take a shot at me, but I'm whole food plant based. I'm not vegan. And CrossFitters, DC fanboys,
anti-vaxxers, flat earthers.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Send your hate mail to steve@thenerdcantina.com.
Yeah, please do. All right. So for the rest of you who are still listening, DC is, they are just a mess of a company in the sense that, yeah, I mean, DC still has, and even in the podcast you had with Brian Wayne, where Brian brought up all current arcs in DC that are fantastic. There are still good things happening in DC comics. But the problem is the comic arm of these companies, DC and Marvel, is not where they're making their money anymore.
It's
a digital age, and that's a lot of what Rob Liefeld was talking about. It is a digital age. The delivery system matters, and the delivery system has to be digital. And DC is just garbage. They cannot put together a coherent direction forward. You know, they shit themselves every time they come up with a movie, and they can't find an audience. And it's honestly not hard to just copy a Marvel framework. Like, it's really not hard to have that.
And that speaks to their innovation also, is because Marvel made a studio when they made Iron Man 1. They took a shot. They made their own studio. Iron Man 1 was so successful, they were able to expand that studio and make it grow and create the MCU that they did. WB had their own fucking studio since Keaton.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Since pre-Keaton. They had the access and abilities to create the DCEU fucking 40 years ago, and just failed to have the vision of intertwining fucking movies, guest starring characters. Like, they just dropped that ball for decade after decade until Marvel finally, you know, got the right investments and scrounged up the money enough to put together one movie that essentially bankrolled the next fucking 21. Like, and for them to have that lack of vision and just constantly, like, I honestly think a lot of it is that focus group mentality. I will never live down fucking Batman versus Superman. I will never live down that movie. You know, anybody that tries to tell me that that was a decent movie, you know, every time I think of that movie, I think of that Step Brothers scene where they're like, did we just become best friends? You know, it's like, is your mom's name Martha?
My mom's name's Martha.
Hey. Did we just become best friends? Yup. Like, it's such a fucking shitty movie.
Anytime I talk about just some of the dumbest shit that's ever happened in movies, it's that. Like, it is. Like, you know, you've got Batman, who is like, I've got to protect the world against people with superpowers.
Martha!
Until it's like, oh, wait. Hold on.
Did you just say Martha?
Did you just say Martha? Oh, really? Like, I know you could still destroy the world. I no longer have a fundamental problem against that. Because our moms are the same.
Because our moms have the same name. Like, I now have empathy for a man that is trying to save his mother named Martha. We have common ground, and we will become allies now from here on out. You know, like if Lex Luthor's mom's name was Martha, where you draw the line?
Oh, we're all dead now.
Like, what are we doing now? What are we doing now? You know, fucking... You know, and they carry that theme, you know, of just like straight Gouda cheese all over their movies for every franchise that they do. You know, everyone's going to argue, well, The Dark Knight was a masterpiece. Like, okay, The Dark Knight's good, but I'll never be a Bale fan as far as Batman goes. Like, did he ruin the character with a nipple suit and all this? No. But as I said before, that Christian Bale's Batman voice is like this generation Schwarzenegger, you know, the get to the chopper. Everybody has a Schwarzenegger voice. And I think everybody now has a Bale voice too, you know, and it just, even their best shit isn't like great. It's not like groundbreakingly phenomenal.
Well, and they, you know, the DC universe, what started this topic is, I guess people could say, well, DC was trying something or trying to innovate by creating their own streaming service. Who told them that they had a shot at doing this?
Who asked for it?
You don't need to innovate this. The streaming services exist. Just going to negotiate a good contract that gets you paid well with another existing service or something. Or when you do it, roll out in a manner that actually has some kind of draw to it.
Well, they have their own fucking TV channel. Well,
it's not like they shut down WB and brought that in and brought Arrowverse and stuff into that. No, all of your old Arrowverse stuff is still sitting on Netflix, and then it's still be free on WB, and then you just bring a bunch of shit nobody's ever heard of into your streaming service that we're supposed to pay for. Yep. And, like, who told them that this was a good idea, that this was going to actually be a profitable thing?
Like, only a handful of people watch this shit, nobody watches that shit, but we're gonna charge $6.99 for the new hotness that nobody's heard about. Here's Titans, Swamp Thing, I would have to Google the other shows that are on there.
Doom Patrol.
Tell you the truth. Like, Jake. Fucking yeah. Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol. It's something. You got Titans. But like I said, they got a Robin show. They're coming out with a Harley Quinn show, I think, in like a month or two. Like, they have a bunch of things that are all probably going to intertwine together, kind of like the Arrowverse, but they're going to build. They're building their own thing.
Hands down, the only thing I can't complain that WB that they're doing with their franchise is Teen Titans Go. I love that shit. I watch that shit every day.
It's animation
with my daughter.
As a whole. I mean,
DC does. That's the one thing I'll give them. They're very highly successful with their animation. You know, wing of their division of their company. They put together, they've had some fails. A Killing Joke was horrible. It was like the only one I actually got off my ass and went to the theater to see, and I walked out mad than a motherfucker. Like, that one was horrible. But for the most part, I would say 80% of their what they do in the animation realm is very high quality, really good. Marvel really hasn't even hit the, you know, the mark on their animation stuff. Planet Hulk was bad. They, you know, they tried to do some anime stories with Wolverine and X-Men, and it was interesting, but it never really caught fire. you know, you put out a DC cartoon, everybody's buying it without any kind of promotion whatsoever, just based on the fact that they've done it really well.
Yeah.
You know, even since we were kids, man, Batman Beyond and the Batman the Animated Series, those were phenomenal shows.
Yeah, it seems to be the only thing that they do. But again, that's not their money makers. They've got to figure out how to get WWE, like, movie studios going. The TV shows can be good for them.
They should have a team of 30 motherfuckers in a room right now dissecting whatever the fuck they did with Shazam, because they need to replicate that over and over and over again. You know, not exactly like the formula, the comedy, the family aspect, but just the quality. You know, it was a quality movie. It had quality writing, quality acting. You know, so yeah. Whatever direction you want to point the theme in, whether you want it dark, whether you want it, you know, comedy or whatever, try to find that quality and associate that quality with it.
But that's part of, you know, their issues. They try to maintain that dark feel. You know, Batman's, you know, the DC fanboys are never going to excuse if Batman turns into a Tony Stark, right? And is just telling jokes and you can't go back.
Well, see, that's not Batman. That's Michael not Batman. Keaton that's did. Green Arrow. Yeah, that's Green Arrow. So they have a Tony Stark type character in DC, so they could give that
but
to,
I'm saying, but Batman's their linchpin. Whatever reboot they do, whatever DC does, oh, yeah, any point in time, it's always going to lead with.
And it's the highest selling title right now. They're Batman titles.
But Batman doesn't have mass appeal. He doesn't have as much mass appeal on when you try to stay true to who the Batman character is. And it's always going to be a tough thing for them. Like, you know, Iron Man was a great start to the Marvel Universe. Because you didn't have to be a comic, like Iron Man wasn't even a major comic book character. Like, I mean, nobody.
Well, it's wasn't really that shitty for them because if you were to Family Feud answer, you know, comics, all right, you know, so Steve Harvey is up there and he's like, name me the most famous comic characters, and you hit that fucking buzzer, Superman Batman, Wonder Woman are going to be in the top three. You know, maybe not Wonder Woman, but Superman, Batman are for sure the number one and number two answer. You know, survey says fucking Superman. So you have the two most iconic characters in comic book history. And like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, and I think that Marvel has proven that if you do it right, you're going to make a billion. You are going to make a fucking billion. Spend what you got to spend to make it good. Don't be cheap. Don't find someone with a unique vision that you believe in and let them make a movie. Stop asking Twitter. Stop asking audiences. Stop trying to cram a bunch of like semi-good ideas into one amalgam of a shitty ball of a movie. Like, just find someone with a great vision, like a James Gunn, like, I mean, Nolan's great, but let them do what they do.
Yeah, I mean, what they really need is they need somebody who has the actual like understanding of how to build a long arc than a single movie, than a single cast. And that's really where, like, you know, you get your Kevin Feige and you get people in Marvel who from the outset kind of had an idea that, hey, we're going to make this bigger than a movie. We're going to make this a universe.
And oh, yeah. Thanos was in the end credits 6 years ago of these movies. They knew where they were going with it.
And they knew they wanted to build off each other and to continue outside of a single movie arc. So I think, again, DC, it shouldn't be hard for them to just kind of copy this model. They have plenty of material and plenty of canon to go pull from. I think what they struggle with is trying to find mass appeal in what really probably should be like rated R movies in Batmans and stuff. I mean, really should be darker, heavier, hitting, gritty type movies. But then they're going to, you know, I don't know, Batman Forever, these things, and try to find a mass appeal. Well,
they made Superman that dark. So, like, you know what I mean? The wholesome Captain America-ish character that they have that is supposed to be the fucking symbol means hope, you motherfuckers. Like, it fucking means hope. You know, like, it should be a bright, hopeful, optimistic, the world could be a better place with men like Superman in it type movie. And he's snapping necks and you know, getting all fucking emo. And you know what I mean? Like what the fuck are you people doing?
The Rob Liefeld, you know, his discussion and all this stuff around DC, I think it does. You know, he talks about what words does he actually use when he says that DC is pretty much dying, that it's a car wreck or something. In the end, he thinks that it, or driving off the cliff, right?
He said it was driving off a cliff.
DC is not dying anytime soon. They're, you know, it's not like they're a company that's on the brink of bankruptcy and collapsing, but they're just.
And he came back and said that too. He's like, look, Marvel and DC aren't going anywhere. He was more talking not off a financial cliff, but just driving off that creative cliff of. You know, no one's going to care if you keep putting together this shit. And they've had a history of trying to do some outlandish things. And then when the audience doesn't like it, they hurry up and pull back on it. Oh, that was just a different Earth. Or that was just an alternate reality. Or that really was didn't happen. It's like that kiss ass that's trying to impress in the board meeting. And they're like, you know what we should do? We should roll out a green version. They're like, no, I hate green. Yeah, you know, right. Yeah. If green sucks. No, I meant blue version. We should roll out the blue version, you know? And they're just, they put out that idea. And then the minute they get any little bit of like bad feedback on it, they pull it back. Like, no, we weren't going to do that. We never meant to do that. We're going to do this. Like, that's what we really meant to do. And fans pick up on that. You know, Marvel's made some bad decisions, but for the most part, they ride with it for a while. They let that initial bad taste sit in a fan's mouth. You know, if they kill a famous character or they take a group in a direction that they're not usually known for going in, they let fans digest it for a while. Because, of course, the initial reaction is going to be, what the fuck did you do to my favorite character?
Yeah.
But after a while and things develop and they take that storyline further, you know, some movies get better upon a second watching, third watching, fourth watching. Same thing with comics. The longer you let that kind of settle and you get over the fact that they're going in a different direction, you may enjoy it. But I feel DC, the minute they get any of that bad pushback from their fan base, they just yank it back and they renege on it. And it's just like, it's horrible. Yeah.
I know. I hope that DC, because they have such good actual canon that is stories that I would watch one day and care to see, hopefully they can kind of right the ship, that they can, you know, they're going to reset Batman again. They're going to start going in a new direction again.
You can reset all these characters a million times and no one's going to care because they love those characters so much.
Yeah.
They're going to reset Batman. I mean, seriously, they've reset Batman, you know, if you count the Adam West incarnations, they've done it like 5-6 times now. Yeah, Batman has been, I've seen this dude's parents get killed like 6 times.
But I'm hoping that like DC Universe, you know, maybe those shows are somewhat good and maybe you should have done what you should have done in the first place and tried to compete against Disney and just sold the rights to a DC Universe to Netflix. Or Amazon.
That was my Nerdstadamus prediction in the Facebook group this week. Is Netflix, Merton, and WB come to like some kind of merger agreement or something? To where is, look, man, you guys take it. Marvel pulled all their shit. You guys did Daredevil great. You did Punisher great. That whole series was kind of up and down with the, you know, the Iron Fist fell off a little bit. But all of it together is a pretty quality series, you know, yeah. The Defenders and stuff. So I'm hoping, you know, DC does the same. Like, look, Marvel pulled. We shit the bed on our streaming service. So how about you guys help us out? We'll lend you these properties. It'll give you some better viewership and it'll help us wash our hands of the, you know, the turds that we play in every day.
Yeah, I hope it goes that direction. Either way, I think DC Universe, I think the rumors probably have a lot of truth behind it. I think DC Universe is probably looking at folding up or looking at how they're going to get out of being this independent streaming service. It doesn't seem to be working.
I mean, if you're creating all these TV shows and nobody's watching, it's got to be hemorrhaging money. It's got to just be hemorrhaging money.
All right, but well, let's come out of some of the TV movie talk and move into video games as we wrap up what was still a big week for video games last week on E3. And again, our last episode, we talked about day one. We talked about our thoughts on Xbox and Bethesda, really, which was all that had come out at our recording last time.
And some of our Stadia thoughts.
And Google Stadia as well. So really, we're picking up on days two and three. And I think they had a little bit of stuff on four, but Steve, what were your thoughts? I know last time I got in trouble for blowing up your outline.
I didn't do as much homework on this time. Because with having so many days, we wanted to be able to condense it into kind of what was important. And really, aside for a couple games, Nintendo pretty much had the best, I say, weekend. You know,
it definitely Xbox the most had it. Interesting. Like panel. I mean, it really wasn't a conference. It was just I don't know why they do these things. Why do they do these conferences if all you're going to do is just play a recorded show that you could have just done anytime?
Yeah. I mean, in the past, it used to be like actual gameplay. And then after the conference, you go out on the floor and they got 50 Xboxes booted up with the demo in there and you could actually play the demo. They've really kind of moved away from that stuff now. Like it is. Like, I don't know, man. A lot, we talked about it last week with SDCC. A lot of these cons, I don't see surviving over the next 5-10 years, or at least being what they initially were conceived to be.
Yeah.
But with that said, Nintendo came out with some interesting news. For all the Smash fans, I'm a big Banjo-Kazooie fan. I named my cat Jinjo. because of Banjo-Kazooie. I own every, like, I have the cartridges for 64. I bought the rare replay so I could play all the Banjo games on my Xbox. Like, I love those games. And you can now play Banjo-Kazooie in Smash, and it looks dope. Like, it looks really, really good. Like, I think all the Banjo fans, it does have kind of a cult following. I think they're really super pumped, and it revitalized that. You know, not that Smash gets stale, but it does have its ups and downs as they release characters of, like, the buzz around Smash. That game's never going to go anywhere, but it does need to be revitalized every once in a while. And throwing in a character like Banjo-Kazooie, I think, really did that for them this time.
I've never, I guess, really was a big Smash fan. I just haven't owned a Nintendo console in a long time. Banjo-Kazooie, bringing them back and Smash, then maybe.
I don't own a Switch yet currently. And I've always been, like, I'm right on the fence of buying one every time I see it. You know, like, man, I really need to get this. I need to be able to play some of these games.
Yeah.
What really might do it is the Legend of Zelda sequel. I love these Zelda games.
Yeah, the first one almost got me on Switch just for Breath of the Wild in the first place.
Oh, for sure.
And then now, yeah.
I don't know how I fought that one off. I really don't know how I fought that one off. It's basically I have no time and kids, and I thought it would never make it out of the box for the first couple months. But yeah, the fact that now I can buy a Switch and catch up on two, like, really dope Zelda games. Okay, like, you know, they dropped that price point down $50, man. You're really gonna make it really hard for me to walk out of Target without a Switch in my
Black
car.
Friday sale or something, and
you know what I'm saying? Like, man, you hit that price point and it's gonna be really, really hard for me to not to walk out with a Switch. So if there's any Nintendo execs listening to this, send a brother a coupon or something.
Yeah, there's another shameless poll.
hey, whatever. Staying on the Zelda tip, though, they did remaster Link's Awakening, which was a Game Boy version of a Zelda game. The remastered version for the Switch looks phenomenal. Like it looks so good that it is another, like, Zelda must play. Like, it's so colorful, and you can tell it was, like, an old handheld just based on the way this, you know, the UI is, yeah, and the way everything is. But it's, man, it looks really good. Like, you can't go, you really can't fail with a Zelda game. Like, it brings a lot of nostalgia to people. It is, you know, probably the best RPG franchise ever created, you know, so as long as they keep churning them out, they're going to get people to spend their money.
Yeah.
It, you know, new Zelda game just invokes the take my money memes like crazy.
I don't know. All the Zelda stuff looks great. They've got moving into another major franchise with Mario. That Luigi's Mansion looks really cool. I think I'd like to run around playing as Gooigi.
Yeah, that's a big thing, is people are excited they get to finally play as Gooigi. Again, I haven't bought a Nintendo in a while, so I'm not current on a lot of these franchises. So you Nintendo fans, I get it, man. I get it. You wanna play the new hotness, and some of this stuff looks like it's really making me have to question my budgeting skills, because I'm gonna have to scoop up one of these Switches, man. I got all the minis. I got the Nintendo Mini and the Super Nintendo Mini. You know, I'm not a anti-Nintendo guy, but you know, we got limited time, limited funds. We all have to make these tough choices.
Yeah.
And yeah, send your coupons
even,
to Steve.
Even without a Nintendo, it did appear that Nintendo was the winner of E3. It really was the one that came with almost no controversy. Had some really, you know, big titles that people want to see. The way they released information.
Yeah, they
was
announced
good.
Witcher's coming to Switch, so anybody yep. that was playing on Switch that wanted to play some games, they're still rolling out established game titles for the Switch so that Nintendo fans can enjoy those. So they're getting Witcher 3. Yeah, like Nintendo's one of those companies that has been struggling, you know, to keep up with the Sonys and the Xboxes. But you never want to see them go away. They have so much, you know, quality trademark. So my initial hope was when they were first talking about Nintendo possibly going bankrupt because they were having some really tough years, is that they were going to go like the Sega route and just become straight developers.
Yeah.
And then just license Zelda to Xbox and PlayStation and become game developers, develop these games, and then let everybody else handle the consoles. The Switch revitalized them, you know, and kudos to them that they were able to come up with an innovating new system. They weren't trying to compete with the high-powered hardware of the Xboxes and PlayStations. They said, no, we're still going to go with, you know, our major titles with a mobile gaming component. You know, they're really big on taking your games with you wherever you go with the DS and, you know, the Switch being mobile like that. So I give it up to them for having, you know, fighting death off with every every turn. They beat the Reaper back every year, you know, and I hope they stay successful because they do own some of the most iconic characters and best titles that anybody in gaming wants to play.
Yeah, and they are still holding on, but to step away from Nintendo, it's really only a couple other, you know, games. There were some interesting ones. Again, E3 is just, for me, it's too much. As not a major game player, I don't spend a ton of time playing video games anymore. It's not a big thing. Once upon a time, it was. But I watch E3, and it's just long. And I, for the sake of the podcast, I wanted to tune in and watch these conferences live or watch the complete. And man, they are just tough to get through, to get a whole lot of no real information. Most of the games are not actual gameplay. Most of the games are, you know, some cinematic CGI trailer that tells you nothing about what the game's going to play like, tells you nothing about anything. And it's like, how do I get hyped about this? I hate the E3 format. I don't know why. I still don't know why game developers do it like this. I guess it makes sense to some degree, but why would you, articles and blogs, whatever else?
I think the gaming is going to go more the rounds of what Stadia did. A week before E3, they just release a 5-minute, 10-minute YouTube kind of like conference on their Stadia channel.
It's
pre-recorded. It's pre-recorded, so you don't have to worry about. I mean, a lot of these conferences fuck up. These dudes have major software glitches. They're not public speakers, all right?
I was gonna say you got a bunch of nerd ass developers.
The guys from Bethesda that came out for Fallout. Like, I felt bad for those dudes because they literally had to walk into a room of people that have been shitting on their game for their fucking Yeah, like, and it's like, hey, remember we suck? We're trying not to anymore. Here's a bunch of shit. Like, it was sad. It was borderline sad.
Like, I don't know. If I was a major game developer, I don't know. I would not care to do the cons. Like, why do the cons? Why do you want people talking about your games in a mashup of everybody else's games? Why would you just not do your own Square Enix party? Do your own Square. You don't even have to do a convention, because why do you need people there live? Do your own Square Enix party.
Get The Rock to make a special appearance.
And just invite a bunch of major Twitch players to come and live play your demos on the internet and let people see these things. Just do something. Create internet hype. You don't need these live events where you're just hidden behind a whole bunch of other people. It just doesn't make sense to me. And then as a viewer, as somebody who was really trying to see it, unless you're a super, super video game guy, I don't know why you endure just sitting watching all these things to really learn nothing. I could just, for 10 minutes, watch the trailers later and still gain the same amount of little information that I would have had watching 3 hours of a conference.
Well, and you take a big risk at doing like these live conferences, because if you do fuck up, that's all people are going to talk about.
Yeah,
like whatever game you're promoting and whatever game you're putting out there gets put to the side because your fat shit developer tripped as he was walking out. Or they have such a giant room for error where, like, is it really worth it? Should you not just take a week, shoot this in a studio, put the footage out that you want to put out? Like, I don't think there was many presentations where people actually were playing a live game on the stage. And over the last few years, it's always come out that even them playing the live game wasn't them actually playing the game. It was all pre-recorded anyways, and they get busted for it a week later when people match up frame rates and button pushes and shit like that. So, like, why are we kidding ourselves still? Like, what are we doing?
Unless you're going to hire Keanu to come out and tell everybody that they're breathtaking, you're not getting the positive hype coming out of this thing. I could do without E3. I know there's a lot of gamers who are telling me, you're going to probably tell me that I'm an idiot, but you're an idiot. You're no better than an anti-vaxxer. can I burn another community? Can we do this?
Yeah. if you're a conferencer, you suck too. I just don't see this being the future of releasing anymore. I mean, PlayStation pulled from E3. Like, when you get a major company like Sony that is just like, yeah, nah. You know, when you got companies like Disney that aren't going to SDCC, they're like, yeah, nah. Yeah. Like,
and you got like
they're dying, man. Stadia they're dying.
Preempting you to still steal the hype of everybody ready for E3, but they're like, 3 days beforehand we're gonna have a live stream
Know this thing called YouTube? Like, guys, you guys are renting halls and spending millions of dollars on presentations. We just shot this shit with a GoPro a week ago and had a guy in the back edit it all together, and we're gonna release it on YouTube a week before and steal all your fucking thunder.
But still hashtag E3. We still steal all your shit. it's trash, but there's still a couple games that we haven't talked about. One that's just for me fun to talk about is the Avengers game.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, you got all the people. You know, it's not Chris Hemsworth, it's not Robert Downey. Yeah, no shit, they have a budget. Do you know how much it would cost to actually have their face on that motherfucking character? Like,
in no way was I mad that it wasn't actually them. I just still found it like you still could have found like stunt doubles like them, like. Captain America's straight dad bod. Like, this is Captain America goes back in the multiverse and he just stopped working out. And like, there's some weirdness to the way they look, but that doesn't really matter. It's a video game.
Yeah, I mean, it's more for the actual fans of the characters. Like, I think everybody, when they seen Avengers game, was thinking, like, it's going to tie in with the movies and... Like, that's what everybody... I think that's where all their heads went first when it was, like, Avengers game. And then you get all these randos that come out and you're like, that's not the Iron Man I know.
Yeah.
Well, like, man, I've grown up, like... And I think that's part of this generation growing up with, you know, over a decade worth of Marvel movies. You know, they've they've kind of cemented in their head who these characters are and what they look like, to whereas me, I've been reading the comics for such a long time that every artist draws these characters differently.
Yeah.
You know, so you've always had different kind of renditions of what they look like. Like, they're all the same, but they're always different. You know, so I think that it was more a generational thing that just wasn't ready to not see a Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man or hear his voice in the suit or, you know, get over it.
The gameplay looks... could be interesting. I don't know. Like, at least that was one where it wasn't purely just CGI trailer, and they actually showed a little bit of what the gameplay may look like. Definitely not a game that's going to get me excited enough to spend more time on the couch playing it. But I just found it funny, just because all the hype around it, all the people talking about it. There's so many memes and things of the characters. Any other games that you think are worth talking about?
They released the Final Fantasy VII actual gameplay and combat mechanics and showed how that game is going to kind of function. So we've been talking about this game for years now, waiting for it to come out, and it's getting so close to the point to actually see how the fighting mechanics are gonna work was a next step that kind of needed to happen, because everyone knew they were going away from turn-based, and the fighting mechanics of the previous Final Fantasies were rough at times. So to see where they were going with this game was interesting, and I'm not 100% sold on it. I don't think it's going to be as bad as some previous renditions, but I don't know. I almost, like I said before, would rather it be straight turn-based with just some of the dopest animations you ever seen in your life.
Yeah, either way, it is a game that I'm going to want to pick up and play. The story of the Final Fantasy VII game, I think, is what's going to draw everybody anyway.
Oh, yeah. It's a nostalgia pull, and it's one of the greatest games ever made, you know, in a lot of people's eyes. People go back and play that old, you know, PlayStation version all the time. Like, it's still selling on Xbox Store, you know, the Final Fantasy VII, and to have a modern graphics, to have these characters actually look, you know, up to current standards. I don't think anyone's going to be able to make a for sure judgment until you actually have that controller in your hand, and everyone's going to buy it and everyone's going to play it. So it's either going to be a huge success, or it's going to be, you know, something that fans just really don't receive well, and people are just going to hate it, and why'd you ruin my childhood type deal.
And then we didn't talk very much about, like, PC games. The PC game spot on E3 was supposedly pretty good. You know, I'm not a Fantasy Star Online player. I don't do very much in the PC world.
Well, I mean, I might start venturing back into that with, you know, I mean, cloud gaming and the Xbox Live Game Pass Ultimate is going to get people to play on their PCs a lot more again, I think. You know, so we did mention Phantasy Star, I think, last week. You know, it's just, it's a big game, you know what I mean? And they're just now porting it to give more people access to it. So,
and they had a bunch of, like, good looking little, like, side scroller games that they were highlighting. A lot of, you know, PC gamers really like is challenging.
What was another one that I seen a lot of people excited for? Was that Baldur's Gate 3?
Yeah, Baldur's Gate 3, which was all cinematic. I don't think it didn't actually show anything, but it's Baldur's Gate, so you're going to have a whole lot of people that have just been waiting for Baldur's Gate 3 to come out.
Once you get a three after that title, you know, like, if you're making a third version of a game, it's got an audience, it's got a proven record, it's got, you know what I mean? Like, so a lot of games will get a sequel because the first one sold just enough copies to see if they can maybe improve on the game and get more people involved on the sequel. But once you hit a third, that means that you've really kind of established a franchise, and, you know, it's worthy of having a fan base.
Yeah, and then there's a couple games that I would go out and play if I got a chance. Like, there's that Evil Genius game. I don't know if you saw that one, where it's a bunch of villains setting traps and trying to kill themselves. I would have fun with that one. There's also that melee fight game. I don't know if you saw that. It's like a battle royale game, but it's all just purely melee based.
Yeah, melee based. Yeah,
that one to me would be an interesting game to play. What is that?
Yeah, it's a Bleeding Edge. They kind of pitch it. Yeah, they kind of pitch it like a first-person shooter without guns.
Yeah, just running around
with like a Street Fighter. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's like a Mortal Kombat, but open worldish. So you can. It's an interesting concept.
I think I'd have fun playing something like that. Because
in my head, I just picture, you know, Call of Duty where you can only knife people. So you're just running around,
no
spamming that.
it's slaps only on GoldenEye. That's
but no, like if they do it right, it could be fun. It could be really fun. I know one of the big letdowns of E3 is that everybody was expecting a Fable game. It was highly rumored that they were going to announce a continuation of the Fable storyline, either a prequel or a reboot of some sort. And when Xbox came out and that didn't happen, I know a lot of people were pissed.
Well, you got any other final notes here for E3?
No, I think that's it for E3. I'm sure that some people might have us. We might have missed some people's favorite franchises, and I hope they leave some comments or...
Yeah,
let us know where again, we dropped the ball.
It's part of my problem with E3 is we missed good games and we didn't talk about them all. But this is why release all of these games all together? Because it gets missed in the noise, I'm sure. And if we did, hey, make a comment on our show page or join the Facebook group and tell us what games you're excited about.
Call a voicemail, send an email, just shit on us however you want. It's fine. We'll take it. I think that wraps up pretty much the news for this week. Wasn't too, you know, the video game world kind of sucked the air out of the room this week. You know, maybe next week we'll get somebody going off on a new Twitter rant or somebody will do something dumb and make the week fun.
We're counting on it. Thanks again for listening this far into episode 17. Again, we're always trying to create a community. If Steve deeply insulted you today and challenged who you are as a human being, we encourage you to join the community at thenerdcantina.com/Facebook.
And I implore you to find the edge of the world and go fucking fall off it. Okay, assholes. If that's what your life is about, please find the ice wall, climb up that motherfucker, and jump off and do us all a fucking favor.
Man, I'm trying to bring them back into the fold here.
No, fuck them. Son of a fuck bitch. Them all. Fuck them.
You're ruining everything. All right, let's reset with some professionalism here. Never mind.
No, not gonna happen. Not gonna happen.
I don't have it either. all right.
But yeah, well, like we said, join the community. Let us know how we offended you or if you agree or disagree on any of the subjects we talk. Once again, this is the start of the conversation. We host this podcast just to start conversation. We carry it forward in all our social media platforms and our groups. If you want to support the show, do so by sharing our episodes, subscribing on YouTube, subscribe on your podcast player, give us a rating and a review, become a Patreon. Give me a buck. Come on now. We're sitting here every Monday morning. It's early. We're recording a show for you. If you got a fucking dollar you could spare, I'll take it. If you could see me right now, I'm shaking my soup can with a couple quarters in it, asking for your dollars.
That's the street performer level of Patreon, the $1. I know you've thrown a dollar in somebody's hat who was playing a bad rendition of some song on the street corner.
Hey, I mean, if I gotta get a 5-gallon bucket, some drug sticks, and go play Cotton Eye Joe at the fucking subway to get dollars, this is gonna really suck. Oh. But I'll take a couple bucks on Patreon. Y'all got that?
And and if you can't tell, we ain't too proud to beg.
No, not at all.
But thanks again for listening. We enjoy all of what we're doing so far here and enjoy the community. Engage with us. Let's continue having these conversations. Thanks again, nerds.
Take care, guys.
Real quick, we just wanted to mention one of our favorite new apps, which is PodCoin. So assuming that because you're listening to our podcast today, that you happen to be a podcasting nerd. And if you are, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't want to get paid for your time.
I'm a big fan of getting paid to do stuff that I do in my daily routine anyways. I sign up for all the rewards programs possible. And with Podcoin, you actually get paid to listen to podcasts. So every minute that goes by that you're listening to your podcast, you are throwing away potential money.
So go ahead, download Podcoin app on either through iTunes or through the Google Play Store. And when you sign up with the promo code NerdCantina.
One word. That'll get you 300 free coins towards your account and get you on your way to earning that first reward from either Amazon gift card, Target gift cards, all kinds of things. You could also donate your coins to your favorite charity that they offer. If you're going to be listening to podcasts anyways, you might as well get some free stuff for doing it. So download the PodCoin app, put in the code NerdCantina, get your free coins, and start earning money while you listen to our show.